Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Benyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Yesterday, we talked about the Trump effect. It was the Trump vulgarity effect, where there has been a tenfold increase in the incidence of our federal politicians using curse words, vulgar, filthy curse words, standard curse words, tenfold increase since Donald Trump took office. Absolutely devastating. And interestingly, in the last 2 days, he's also retweeted. Now, this is not vulgarity. This might be, you know, there's cursing and then there's blasphemy. And I'm sure he'd say this is just a joke, but he retweeted a pro-Trump comment about the Jews and saying that the Jews, you know, they need to love him. He is effectively the king of Israel, and he's the second coming of God. That's what the tweet was, and he retweeted it. Then, was it today? He's being asked by reporters about his trade war with China, and he looks up to the sky and he says, well, I'm the chosen one, you know, and it's just a throwaway comment, but he does seem to have a bit of a Messiah's complex, and he certainly has never given any indication that he's humbled himself before God and asked God to forgive him for his sin and trust in Jesus Christ. So if you love Donald Trump, you will pray for him that we don't just use him to defeat the Democrats, but that we actually care about him as a human being and his family, all of whom, as far as we can tell, except for Barron Trump, all the other family members, there is no evidence that they have trusted in Jesus Christ and, in fact, seem to be headed to hell, sliding down a greased pole right straight into hell. So here at Bob Benyart Live at Denver Bible Church, we love Donald Trump enough to not give him a false sense of security. Now, speaking of false sense of security, that's happened to a lot of us. I want to switch the topic a bit to something that is ubiquitous in our culture, and that's pornography. And I've made some statements about the Christian support for pornography, Christians legitimizing pornography. You know what that means when Dr. James Dobson, for many years, has legitimized pornography? I realize there are public school teachers tuning in right now. Legitimize means to declare legally valid. So when Dr. James Dobson, founder of Focus on the Family, he now has his own radio program. When he, on the President's Commission on Pornography many years ago, and ever since, and Focus on the Family when we've been there. In fact, you know what? I think I'd like to air some of the audio from Focus on the Strategy 1. Could we get that ready? Focus 1. We have a trilogy. Focus on the Strategy 1, 2, and 3. 2 is the most well-known of the trilogy, and it's the strategy for ending child killing, how to end child killing in America. And you don't do what started the whole nightmare in the first place. You don't regulate child killing, and you don't make exceptions for rape and incest. That's how the whole thing started. So you don't do what started the abortion holocaust in America in order to end it. It's not the best strategy. So we will go to Focus on the Strategy 1 in a little bit. This was a recreation of a presentation that I had the honor of giving The elders of Denver Bible Church were invited down to Colorado Springs to focus on the family, to present to their vice president of public policy and two of their judicial analysts, their titles were, what we now call focus on the strategy. And what should Christians do? How do they adopt their strategy for trying to affect the culture and help millions of families? There are now, what, 120 million households in America? More than that? Try to help them to help themselves so they don't destroy themselves. And so part of all that is pornography. And on our website, we have our list of ways to reduce the crime epidemic, right? kgov.com/crime. And I'm there right now. And if you search on that page, Control F for find, and if you search for pornography, you find that, well, this bullet on ubiquitous pornography, led for decades by Focus on the Family's Dr. James Dobson. You've got Concerned Women for America, Morality in Media, and others who legitimize pornography, claiming it should be legal. Because why is that? Well, they think that there's a free speech right to produce pornography. They forget that pornography, so much of it, is a form of prostitution. It's institutionalized prostitution. Much of it is trafficking in human sexuality. All of this should be criminal. It should all be criminal, but instead, what we have are our Christian leaders thinking that, well, we can only advocate for what we think the culture might approve of. We can't go beyond that. So if there's no way the culture could recognize that, for example, adultery should be criminal, or homosexuality should be criminal, fornication should be criminal, pornography, abortion should be criminal, if there's no way that the culture could recognize that, then the most we can do is try to regulate it. Let's regulate sexual immorality, sexual crimes, and crimes, economic crimes of the socialist government and so on. And that's what they do. They've lost sight of God's enduring commands, and they want to regulate do not murder instead of just standing for the prohibition of murder. And they want to regulate do not commit adultery. And they want to regulate do not steal. So on our crime page, kgov.com/crime, with this bullet on the crisis with our Christian leaders legitimizing pornography, that links to one of the interviews we did years ago, almost 20 years ago, with the president of Morality and Media, Bob Peters. And I asked him in that interview if he would stand with BEL, Bob Benyart Live, and call for the recriminalization of pornography. And he said no, no. And this, we've asked a lot of Christians over the years this question and other similar questions. And the answer is no. So on that page with the interview with Morality in Media, we've since embedded a clip from Focus on the Strategy 1. And so I'd like to go to the audio of that. And, you know, perhaps we'll back up to the beginning, but right now, let's start right where that clip starts at 1330 and hear this, and I may interject now and then. Amen. You're going to hear from two Christian leaders, audio clips, and ministries in America no longer teach that pornography should be illegal. And again, when you press them and you question them, increasingly they believe they're pro-choice on pornography, that actually men have the right to sexually exploit women and video and take photos and produce pornography and sell it. Now we have Focus on the Family, the AFA, CWA, Morality and Media,
And I interviewed on my radio show the president of Morality and Media, Bob Peters. And he's been affected by legal positivism. And he will not call for the recriminalization of pornography. We've asked him twice. Now, listen to this as I'm introducing him, and I'm talking about the problem of internet pornography.
So that if a staffer clicks on some email, instantly pops up an extraordinarily vulgar pornographic image. You know, I wish there were some kind of a Morality and Media group. Oh, wait a minute. Who's on the line here? Is this Bob Peters?
Yes.
Hello, Bob. This is Bob Enyart out in Denver.
Hi, this is Bob Peters in New York City.
Bob, you're the president of Morality and Media?
Yes.
Well, why isn't there any?
You know, I tell you, the word that's often used when I people ask me what I do, and I say I work for Morality and Media.
Right.
And they say that's an oxymoron.
Fast forward to later in the broadcast.
Christian leaders who fight against pornography, this is what I've noticed. They fight against child pornography and obscenity, but they've basically conceded the sexual exploitation of women. Just give us the child pornographers and the hardcore. But when you concede on the pages of Playboy, you lost the war, and you will work your whole life, and we won't win anything. If we concede Playboy, we will not win anything ever.
Well, I loathe Playboy.
Hey, Bob, we're about out of time. The music is playing. Let me ask you this one question. Could you stand with me and call for all pornography to be outlawed?
Well, at this point in my life, I'm still working to get the adult obscenity laws enforced, which I think would be an improvement where the American people want to go from there.
But I'm not
happy
asking
to support
you that.
Laws that go much further than our current obscenity laws do, but you need the American public to support it.
Well, Bob, then does our audience take from this that Bob Peters and Morality and Media stands for the right to sexually exploit women on the pages of Playboy?
No, but I'm...
Well, then would you call, stand with me and call for Playboy to be prohibited?
Well, I tell you, at this point, what I'd like to see is federal and state prosecutors enforce the constitutional obscenity laws.
All right, and that's as far as our national Christian ministries and virtually all of our churches, as I've noticed, will go. We have conceded to the humanist that men have a right to sexually exploit women. And when the Christian leaders have lost sight of God's standard, what makes us think that secular officials will toe some kind of an arbitrary boundary that now we're fighting for? Concerned Women for America spokesman Robert Knight. He's not really thought through whether porn should be outlawed. Let's hear the interview.
What we need to do is, we have to start by demanding that they enforce the obscenity laws, which are on the books. They've been upheld by the courts.
Let me challenge what you just said. We have to start by enforcing the obscenity laws. If our Christian leaders are accepting, they're tolerant of Playboy and Penthouse, there's no way you're going to get a secular government to enforce other pornography laws. If the Christian leaders accept Penthouse, which they do, and they all do,
they don't all do that.
Well, name me.
Dr. Dobson personally thinks it's all poison.
Well, oh yeah, poison, but not criminal. Focus on the Family has been very careful to call for the government to fight against obscenity and child pornography.
Right, because they're basing their call on what's legal now. The government can actually do.
Yeah, but
apart from changing the laws.
No, what's legal now is killing children. And in some places, homosexuals to get married. You don't go by what's legal now, you go by what's right. And my point is the Christian leaders in America think that pornography should be legal. That's what they think.
No, I sure don't. Don't count me among them.
Well, I'm a bird.
I would allow a small town to kick Playboy and Penthouse right out of the local grocery, saying that we have different standards here. You can take this to Los Angeles or New York, but...
Why do Christian leaders tolerate the porn industry?
Well, I think everybody takes a piece of the battle.
Well, yeah, and it's appropriate. Not everyone could fight every battle in every front, but that's not my point. My point is the Christian community has misinformed the public into thinking that pornography should be legal, that adultery should be legal, that all forms of sexual immorality should be legal, and then we try to regulate it in some way. And once you've legalized...
Well, we must be one of the hardcore groups, because we don't talk like that.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me make a challenge to you. Now, the group that you're the director of, it's an affiliate of Concerned Women for America.
Concerned Women for America,
right. A group that we love dearly and appreciate. You're the director of Culture and Family Institute.
Right.
Could you point to any online document or any press release where you guys have educated people saying pornography should be against the law?
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Where?
Go to our website. We've got a number of papers on pornography and how damaging it is.
Well, I'm not asking that. I'm saying, have you guys educated your members, supporters, the public, that pornography is not only a sin, it's not only dangerous, it's a crime? Could you think of a paper?
I'd have to read Jan LaRue's paper. She's our pornography expert.
All right. I'll give $1,000 to your favorite charity if you could call back in, Robert, next week and say, here's where we said that pornography should be a crime.
Hey, that's pretty good.
That is good.
Yeah, that's a reasonable offer.
That's an easy $1,000. And here's my guess. I love you guys, Robert. I hope you don't think that I'm against you guys. My point is the entire Christian community, the leadership, has completely lost its context. And we're trying to fight sexual immorality symptoms while we have allowed the main foundation to be destroyed without a peep. No Christian leaders say adultery should be recriminalized. None. None. And so
well,
if you...
You know, you might have a point.
Did I have to pay on the $1,000 bet? What do you think? No, I didn't have to pay. I still got the money in my pocket. And remember, we're talking to Focus on the Family and Tom Minnery and his right-hand men. And I said that, Tom, you know that James Dobson, Focus on the Family, and Don Wildman and his son Tim Wildman. We had Tim Wildman on our radio show just a couple months before we went to Focus, and we were discussing the same issues with the president of the American Family Association, and he was wrestling through this on the air and trying to process it. And I said, James Dobson makes frequent calls to enforce obscenity and child pornography laws, but no public statement on the legality of pornography itself. We have conceded to the enemy the right to sexually exploit women, and when our Christian leaders have done that, we cannot win the war. Terry Schiavo, pro-life spokesman, switched.
Okay, stop the tape, stop the tape. What I'd like to do is back up to the beginning of this Focus on the Strategy. We were at Focus on the Family in one of their conference rooms, and presented this, the same presentation that then a couple weeks later I gave here in Denver to about 150 Christian activists who came in from all over the country. So I had this great opportunity. We videotaped it, and it became the first in a trilogy, Focus on the Strategy 1, 2, and 3. And of course, that title is a takeoff on Focus on the Family, right? Also on our website, we have Focus on the History of Homosexual Rights. And that's rather shocking, the role that Focus on the Family played in getting the body of Christ to affirm homosexual rights, a behavior that has gone from criminal and prohibited to mandatory to support it or you're fired in record time in a key part of that transition. Now, we may never have been able to stop the nation from promoting the perversion and destruction of homosexuality, but we sure didn't have to get the church to go along with it. And our Christian leaders did, literally promoting homosexual rights. Not special rights, but homosexual rights. Wow. And so let's go to the beginning of this Focus on the Strategy. So my board operator, you got the beginning, you got it queued up? Okay, here's the start of Focus on the Strategy 1.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Enyard of Denver Bible Church. The elders of our church and I went down to Focus on the Family to give them a presentation on Christian political strategy. We met with Tom Minnery, who is their vice president of public policy. It was an honor for us to be there. Tom brought some of the men in his department, and he happens to be James Dobson's right-hand man. So we were talking to the right people on the subject of Christian political strategy. A few weeks later, I was asked by a national Christian leader to give the same presentation in Denver, Colorado. Flip Benham is the national director of Operation Save America. And he asked me if I would present exactly what we showed to Focus on the Family to his organization. So that's what we're about to show you. So from here on out, I'm going to talk to you as though you were Focus on the Family. I'll give you the presentation we gave down there. Well, thank you for inviting us to Colorado Springs. And our talk is titled Christian Political Strategy. As with everything we do, there's often unintended consequences, and the same is true of our efforts to get judges who honor the culture of life. There have been severe unintended consequences, and we would like to recommend improvements to the effort that Christians make, and especially our national Christian leaders, to influence our culture. The goal of our meeting is to convince Focus on the Family that Christian political strategy promotes legal positivism. Now, what's legal positivism? Remember in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel said, "I saw the war being waged against the saints, and that war was prevailing. And the Ancient of Days came." God came. And in verse 25, God described the enemy of his kingdom as the one who shall intend to change the law. Legal positivism rejects the divine standard of law. That's what legal positivism does. And instead of God's legality, God's declaration of law, which should be on the books, legal positivism looks at the law as it is changed by men. And some conservative Christians say, well, we would not have changed it that way, but that is the law. And we're not talking about making believe that they didn't legalize abortion or that they are not increasing and giving in to the homosexual agenda. We're talking about what should the law be and what should we advocate as Christians. So we want to convince Focus on the Family that our efforts in our community promotes legal positivism. And when Peter said in Acts 5, we must obey God rather than men, our Christian political strategy is undermining that fundamental principle. I'm going to give you 7 lines of evidence that we, our Christian leaders in America, that we are a bad influence on the body of Christ, and that we are undermining morality in America. The first line of evidence is Baby 10. She's the little girl who was intentionally killed by someone on our side, one of our pro-life heroes. The second line of evidence, pornography. Ministries no longer teach. In fact, they're afraid to teach, or they absolutely refuse to teach that pornography should be illegal. Terry Schiavo. We saw many, and we will document this. You'll hear from some of our Christian leaders. You'll see the quotes. Pro-life spokesman switched to support suicide during the battle to save Terry Schiavo. In ignorance and foolishly. And we'll demonstrate that for you. The fourth line of evidence, partial birth abortion. Now, I'm making an analogy here. But partial birth abortion, if the ban ever comes into effect, abortionists have been trained to kill babies with different methods. And how many abortions scheduled would be canceled if partial birth abortion was banned? And the answer is zero, because they'll simply use a different method. And the Germans killed countless thousands of Jews and others with a drug called Zyklon B. And the analogy is, what if we spent a decade in Germany trying to outlaw Zyklon A? Would history judge that as a reasonable, moral, wise effort? The fifth line of evidence is that homosexuals fought for legalization, to legalize homosexuality, and ministries now support this as the way the law should be, that homosexuality should be legal. We'll discuss that. And adultery, humanists have legalized adultery, and now ministries never oppose legalized adultery. In fact, I think you will find out if you press, if you ask, if you question, our Christian leaders have joined the humanists, and they believe that even crimes like adultery should be legal. Even if they're a sin, they've lost the foundation because we have become legal positivists. Alberto Gonzalez, Rudy Giuliani, so many pro-abortion leaders are getting the support of an increasing number of pro-life leaders. And we will demonstrate that. And here is the solution, we believe. 15 years ago, James Dobson, your founder, made a pledge when he said, "I will never support a politician willing to kill a single innocent child." James Dobson's righteousness is not above that of Focus on the Family. There is only one standard of righteousness, God. And so Focus on the Family should recast its strategy consistent with your founder's pledge. Now let's look at the evidence.
But stop before the tapes. By the way, Focus on the Family sent us a letter. We got it on letterhead. You see it in Focus on the Strategy 2, where they said that Dr. Dobson no longer goes by that pledge, and they will support politicians who advocate killing some children. Tragically, even beyond that, in their visitor center, for years after Dr. Dobson violated his pledge toward God, they continued to show that pledge. Why? Because it was exhilarating. It was thrilling. It's the way they wanted the world to see Focus on the Family, but it wasn't really the way Focus on the Family was. So you take the tour, as our family has done, and right before you go to take out your wallet, right before you go to the store where we, even knowing all this, we still bought over $100 of their materials. Right before you go into the store at the end of the tour, you see this video of Dr. Dobson in front of hundreds of thousands of Christians making this extraordinary pledge. Wow, that he would, "As long as God lets me live on this earth, I will never again support a politician willing to kill a single innocent child." And then he violated that pledge to God, violated it. And so did Focus on the Family, and they even put it on their letterhead, saying, "We don't go by that any longer." And how's that worked out for the country, for the morality of the body of Christ, for Christians to have clear leadership? The Bible says, you know, when you sound the clarion call, if it's not a clear call, how will the people know who to follow, where to go, what to do? So, hey, we're out of time, but we're going to continue this next week. God bless you guys.